Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. It's reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 18, Description of Varnashram Dharma, text number 36. Saucham Achamanam Snanam Natu Chodanayacharet Anyamschanya Manjani Yataham Lila Yeshvaraha Saucham Acham Achamanam snanam Natu Chodaya Chodaya Nachayat Anyangschanya Manjani Yataham Lila Yeshvaraha Saucham Achamanam Snanam Natu Chodanayacharet Anyangschanya Manjani Yataham Vidayeshvaraha Saucham General Cleanliness Achamanam Purifying the hands with water. Snanam, taking bath. Na, not. To, indeed. Chodanaya, by force. Charet, one should perform. Anyan, other. Cha, also. Niyaman, regular duties. Jnani, one who has realized knowledge of me. Yata, just as. Aham, I. Lilaya, by my own desire. Ishvara, the Supreme Lord. Translation and purport. By the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Just as I, the Supreme Lord, execute regulative duties by my own free will, similarly, one who has realized knowledge of me should maintain general cleanliness, purify his hands with water, take bath, and execute other regulative duties, not by force, but by his own free will. Purport. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends to the material world, he generally observes the Vedic regulative duties to set a proper example for mankind. You notice how he says generally, not always. Because of his transcendental pastimes. The Lord acts by his own free will, since no one can oblige, force, or impel the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, the jnani, the self-realized soul, or self-realized soul, is fixed on the spiritual platform beyond the material body and should therefore execute the regulative duties in relation to the material body by his own free will and not as a servant of the rules and regulations. A self-realized soul is a servant of Lord Krishna and not of rules and regulations. Nevertheless, a transcendentalist strictly complies with the regular duties for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. In other words, one who is advanced in loving devotional service to Lord Krishna spontaneously moves according to the will of the Supreme. One who is perfectly situated in spiritual realization cannot become a servant of the material body or of the rules and regulations concerning the material body. However, this verse and other similar statements in the Vedic scriptures should not be ignorantly misinterpreted to justify immoral, whimsical behavior. Lord Krishna is discussing the Paramahamsa stage of life, and those who are attached to the material body have nothing to do with this Paramahamsa stage, nor should they exploit its unique privileges and statuses. Om Jnana Tamanandasya Gyananjana Salakya Chakshan Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Mukham Kultuvachalam Pum Nung Hayate Yat Kripa Taraham Bande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Vancha Kalpa Tubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Puritanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So the first word here is saucham. Of course, saucham means clean. Of course, there's cleanliness of the body, there's cleanliness of the soul, cleanliness of the mind. So here it's mentioning cleanliness, according referring to the body, purifying the hands and taking bath and things like that. But in Kali Yuga, it's such a degraded age that people don't even regularly clean. I remember I was in India and one devotee told me he was in university and he said he was staying in an apartment. I said, "You don't stay in the dormitories with the other students?" He said, "Vijay, you wouldn't believe it. They only take a bath once a week. Once a week, they take a bath." Of course, that was also here in the hippie era. That was, you know, whether they had to or not, they'd take a bath once a week. It's like so dirty. Yeah. So Prabhupada, he taught us even to clean, yeah, to regularly bathe. So, of course, what's most important is to cleanse the heart, and much more difficult. To clean the body, not so difficult. Although for some, it's a big challenge. But to cleanse the heart, to cleanse the mind, much more difficult, very difficult. Because it's subtle. You know, this body is gross, and it's not so difficult to clean. And we can clean our room, and you can clean your house and clean your car, but to clean the heart, that's a big challenge, very difficult. Cheto darpanam marjanam bhava mahadavani nirvavanam. And glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years together, extinguishes the blazing fire of material existence. So Lord Chaitanya, he came to teach us how to live a life of Krishna consciousness, how to live a clean life. And therefore there's this wonderful pastime where Lord Chaitanya, he is cleansing the Gundicha temple. And he's comparing it to the cleansing of the heart. And there's just like there's a lot of, you know, if you leave a room alone, then a lot of dirt piles up. So Lord Chaitanya, he was sweeping, he was piling up a lot of dirt. And if he saw devotees that were also very nicely cleaning and piles were coming up, he was very pleased. Yeah, he was pleased that they were cleaning. So Lord Chaitanya is also pleased if we cleanse our hearts. Take, imagine, go to someone's home and there's dirt everywhere and there's garbage everywhere and there's old prasadam laying around and it smells, you know. Who would want to stay in such a place? You want to get out as soon as you can, you know. But if you go into some devotee's home and it's very clean, everything's very pukka, the deities are there taking, you know, very nicely care of it. You just feel, oh, this is very nice. You know? So the heart is also, it's a temple. And Krishna's there. Yeah. So we want, if our heart is clean, if it's free of material desires, then Krishna's, he's pleased and he wants to stay. Even it's said that Pravishta Karna Rundrena Svanam Bhavasuru Dunotim Sayalam Krishna Sadilasya Itasharat. This is spoken by Parikshit Maharaj to Sukadeva Goswami. Pravishta Karna Rundrenam Svanam Bhavasururam. That the literary incarnation of Krishna, the Srimad Bhagavatam, enters into the heart of the self-realized devotee and sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship with Krishna. Beautiful metaphor. Sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship with Krishna, and there it cleanses it of all the lust and the greed and the anger. And thus it acts like autumnal pools of rain upon mud, like rain, like autumnal rain upon muddy pools of water. Just like here, if you, let's say on the sidewalk, there's some little hole there and there's some dirt. There's some dirt in the hole, and the rain comes. Now immediately there's some mud, right? But as the rain continually comes and it starts pouring down hard, then the mud is removed and you have pure distilled water in that hole. So we've come into this material world and we've become polluted, you know, material desires, lust and greed and anger and all these things. But as we continually chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, then the heart becomes cleansed. And we have a transparent, pure heart by this continual chanting. And also, Pariksit Maharaj, he says, persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly with the purpose of becoming purified, then very soon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, will appear in one's heart. So Pariksit Maharaj, he says this to Sukadeva Goswami. So by this regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, regularly hearing Bhagavad Gita, regularly hearing from the pure devotee, then we become cleansed. And Krishna, he manifests. Of course, he's there. The super soul is there. But according to this verse, Krishna manifests. Just like in this verse, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Velochanena Santak Sadaiva Hrdi Yesu Veloki Yanti Yang Syama Sundra Machincha Guna Swarupam Govindamadi Purusam Tamaham Bhajami. That I worship the primal Lord Govind, who is always seen by the devotee, whose eyes are anointed with love. He is always seen in his form of Shyamasundar, situated within the heart of the devotee. So generally we hear that Paramatma is in the heart, right? But here Lord Rama is saying that when one becomes very, very advanced, when one's eyes are anointed with the pulp of love, Shyamasundar takes the place of the Paramatma. Just like in the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, there's no Paramatma. Krishna, Shyamasundar is there. When we leave the spiritual world, then the Paramatma accompanies us wherever we go. And when we go back to the spiritual world, there's no Paramatma. Just like, let's say, a father has two children, has a lot of affection for the children. He goes on a trip, and he carries pictures of the children because there's affection. And he puts them on the table wherever he goes. And then when he goes back home, he doesn't, you know, the picture, he puts the pictures away because he's there with the children. So like that. So in the spiritual world, Krishna is there. And when a pure devotee becomes extremely pure, then Shyamasundar takes the place. Interesting. So, in the Vedas, it's stated, Eti sodasikam nama kali kama sanasana, that if one wants to be free of all the contamination of this age and be free of all the sins of the age of Kali, There's no alternative than to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So in this Kali Yuga, there's so much contamination. Wherever you look, there's so much contamination. It's very difficult. Therefore, Prabhupada, he one time said that spiritual movement in the material world, very difficult proposal. Very difficult proposal. There's so much contamination. Even when Prabhupada was here, there was so much deceit and so much cheating. There was one temple president in Hawaii. He stole the restaurant. Stole the restaurant from Prabhupada, basically. So Prabhupada heard about this and very upset. So he went to Hawaii and he told the devotees, I want to speak to this devotee. So Prabhupada said to him, you're my disciple, right? I'm your guru. Yes, Prabhupada. So then the restaurant is mine, right? No, Prabhupada. He wouldn't surrender. He wouldn't surrender. So this is very degraded age. Prabhupada was walking with some devotees and I think it was here in Dallas, actually. And there was a children's fairyland. It's a children's fairyland. And Prabhupada, then he looked at the downtown, he said, see, this is children's fairyland. This is adults' fairyland. It's just a dream. You know? They're dreaming that there's some happiness there, that they're enjoying. Because if we experience real happiness, then all this so-called pleasures in this world, it would just be insignificant. Yeah? Insignificant. Like a drop. I think it's purported under Saraswati Thakur. Like a drop in the desert. It's like there might be someone in the desert and he's dying of thirst and someone gives him a drop of water. What is that going to do? It's going to tease him. It's going to make it worse. Yeah. Yeah. Vidyapati, yes. Just a drop in the water. So everybody wants unlimited happiness. That's ever increasing. We don't want it to stop, right? But the so-called pleasures in this world are called khlada tapakari. Khlada tapakari. That whatever you try to enjoy in this world, that very thing that we're trying to enjoy becomes a source of misery. That's the material world. It's a mix. Klada tapakari misra. There's a little pleasure. There's a drop of pleasure. Yeah, there's something there. Not much. But a lot of suffering. Yeah, a lot of suffering. Yeah. Just like people they want to make a lot of money. And they think with a lot of money, then I'll be happy. But there's so many people making a lot of money, but they're not. They're not satisfied. Like, it's interesting that it's a very attractive thing to be a doctor, right? But you know, amongst professionals, they're the ones that commit suicide more than any other. Doctors. Dentists, isn't it? But amongst the doctors, the ones that commit suicide the most are the psychiatrists. Psychiatrists. They got to deal with so many crazy people. It drives them nuts. Yeah. But not only that, one friend of mine, Parama, he was in university and he had a lot of friends in the university there and he had some that were studying psychiatry. And he said the reason they were studying psychiatry was to find out what was wrong with them. Not so much to help others, but what's wrong with me? So then, yeah, sometimes you go to some, if you go to some of these meetings with psychiatrists and the patients, it's hard to find out which one's the patient, which one's the doctor. So there's so much suffering in the material world. And therefore, Krishna says, Dukalyam Asaswatam. It's a place of suffering. And sometimes reversals happen to us, and And we may think, well, why is this happening? I'm a devotee of Krishna. Why is this happening? It's a blessing. It's good. We shouldn't waste crisis in our life because they're good. They help us to remember this material world. We don't belong here. But if everything was very nice, then why leave? It's like when I'm distributing books, so many students, I approach them to give them a book. No, I'm good. I'm okay. Very calm. I'm good. Like their mantra back to me. No, I'm good. Very calm. And therefore also if you go to affluent countries like in Europe, the highest atheist rate is there in Europe. They have money, nice facilities. Why do I need God? I don't need, and people, even students have told me, I don't need God, I'm doing great. I'm doing fine, I don't need Him. But if you go to third world countries, people are practically 90% God conscious. Yeah. Because things aren't so easy. Yeah. Third world countries. But America is an exception. A first world country, so much theism. People are, it's amazing. Yeah. And Europeans can't understand, why is there so much God consciousness in America? And Prabhupada one time he said that the reason America is so opulent is because it's the only country in the world where on their currency they have "In God We Trust." And the atheists are trying to take that off the currency like anything, because it really irks them. You know, they're walking around with this currency that has "In God We Trust." I don't believe in God. I'm trying to get it off. See what happens if they ever do that. So here in this verse also, Krishna explains that he's independent. He doesn't have to do anything. But still, he follows the rules and regulations to be a good example. And therefore Krishna says, yad yad acharati, so he says, yad yad acharati, tat tadavetur, suyat pramanam kruti, lokas tadanudartate. That he follows the rules and regulations, to be a good example. And the devotees also, they follow the rules and regulations. They don't have to. They're beyond. There's Paramahansas. Actually, in this verse, he's speaking of the Paramahansas. That they're beyond the rules and regulations. Yeah, just like there's avadutas. It's like Jagannath Das Babaji, he was an avaduta, transcendental Paramahansa, completely on the highest level. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur told his disciples, don't go see him. You won't understand. Because he was a real avaduta, completely Paramahansa, complete pure devotee. But some of his activities, ordinary devotees wouldn't be able to understand. They may criticize. So he would say, don't, better not go. But we have to follow the rules and regulations for our own spiritual benefit. Srila Prabhupada one time said that if you want to make very rapid advancement, then follow all the rules and regulations, the big ones and the small ones. Krishna's pleased by that. Yeah. If we follow these rules, then Krishna, he gives mercy. Of course, we have principles, and then there's details. It's like we have the four regulative principles, which can't be changed. There's one devotee, he wanted to change that. He said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, this movement is such a nice movement, and it could grow like anything if we had, instead of four regular principles, three regular principles. No gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating. Stop there. And Prabhupada said no. No, he said, I'm not interested in having many flickering stars. But if we can just get one moon, then it would be a success. Yeah. Of course, he has many moons. So Prabhupada wasn't just after a bunch of cheap followers. Yeah. He wanted serious, sincere devotees. Yeah. And of course, by his Shakti, he created them. Amazing. Just like this verse is saying how devotees, they practice cleanliness, and also austerity and purity. So many of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, they were living very degraded lives, extremely degraded lives, but Prabhupada was just so pure that he was able to lift them up to the level of Vaishnavas, Brahmanas. Amazing, yeah, amazing Shakti. And Prabhupada said that if the leaders of this country knew what I was going to do when I came, they would have killed me. Because he inspired in so many people in this country and around the world to stop eating meat. Intoxication. So many. And still, people are getting Prabhupada's books and they're giving up so much sinful activity. You know, so big businesses probably lost millions of dollars because of Prabhupada. So we're very fortunate to have a guide like Srila Prabhupada that it's helping us to understand who we are. It's helping us to live a life of purity. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, the flesh is not my own, alas, the mortal frame a chain, the soul confined for former wrong should try to rise again. Why then this childish play and that which is not my own, which falls within 100 years as if a rose had blown? So the acharyas come and help us realize this is not who we are. This is just a covering. We're the soul within. We're part of the Supreme Soul. And the more we connect to Krishna, the more we get purified. This is the yoga system. Connection with Krishna. By this connection to Krishna, we get purified. And when we become completely pure, then we're completely happy. As long as we're impure, there's going to be some dissatisfaction. There'll be some dissatisfaction. In this world, you know, people like to have relationships, try to obtain some satisfaction. Yeah. Men, you know, try to have some relationship with a woman. Women try to have a relationship with a man. Try to have some satisfaction. Yeah. But there's so much frustration because trying to substitute Krishna. Yeah. The relationship that we're actually looking for is with Krishna. And there's never any dissatisfaction. We're not dissatisfied. Krishna's so great. Just like a man tries to satisfy a woman, or a woman tries to satisfy a man. But it's very difficult, right? Very difficult. But Krishna's so great. He's so attractive. He can satisfy everyone. Quadrillions, unlimited living. Krishna can satisfy everyone. That's Krishna. Yeah. All attractive. So attractive. Yeah. So better focus our attention on Krishna. Of course, there's relations we have in this world, but Krishna should always be the center of the relationship. Just like in Vaikuntha, there's relationships between men and women. Prabhupada says in one purport, sweethearts. The men have their sweethearts. But Krishna is in the center. Krishna's in the center. And even they try to attract their husbands, but they're not attracted sexually because Krishna's all attractive. Yeah. They're not attracted. So Krishna is the most attractive. It's like I was speaking to one student a few weeks ago at a university, a nice lady, and she was a spiritual lady, and I asked, "So, but do you believe in God?" She said, "No." Yeah, that's a big thing now, spirituality. They're into spirituality, but not God, not religion, just spirituality. So I said, you know, one reason that atheism isn't growing because people aren't aware of pure concepts of God. There's many different conceptions of God. So our concept of God is not like the concept that you grew up with. She said, yeah, I grew up a Catholic, you know, there's just forcing me so much, you know. And if you're sinful, you go to hell, you burn forever. I said, no, that's not true. God is the most compassionate, so he'll always give us a chance to get purified, to become good souls, pure souls. And therefore there's reincarnation. We always get another chance. No one goes to hell and burns forever. That would be cruel. God is not cruel. He's the most compassionate. And I told them, and God also, he is the most cool. He's the coolest person. She said, wow, I never heard that before. Krishna is super cool. He's just so wonderful. So wonderful. So she took a Bhagavad Gita. So hopefully she'll get closer. So badly no one hears this pure concept, this wonderful concept of God. Yeah. So we're very fortunate. We have this Srila Prabhupada giving us such nice message about spiritual life, and Krishna, he's given us, he comes and he gives himself, explains himself, attracts us to him, the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's like Prabhupada, he said, first we have to be attentive. We have to hear attentively the holy name of Krishna. We have to hear Srimad Bhagavatam attentively. To do everything we were doing very attentively. Prabhupada said, devotional service means attention to the details. Yeah. Attention to the details. So if we're attentive in whatever it is we're doing, then we'll become attracted to Krishna. If we're attentive, we'll become attracted. And this is what we want. We want to be attracted to Krishna. And now we're attracted to Krishna, but we're also attracted to so many things in this world, right? Unfortunately, still there's some. So we're like in the middle now. Before we were just attracted to Maya, right? Now we're also attracted to Krishna, but still some attraction to Maya. she puts on a good show. Yeah. So now we're just trying to become attracted to Krishna. You know, give up the attraction to Maya. So if we're attentive and we become attracted to Krishna, then we become attached to Krishna. I call it the three ats, you know. Attention, attraction, attachment. Trying to become attached to Krishna. You know, so this is the goal. Become attached to Krishna. But it begins with that attention, you know? And therefore attentive japa is so important. There's so many japa reform programs going on, and of course Mahatma Prabhu, he does so many, I'm sure he's helped so many. But you know the best thing that I've ever heard for chanting attentive japa was told to me by Bhakti Tirtha Swami. So when he would chant and he was not attentive, he would stop. And he would back up in his beads, a couple beads, and then go forward. Very practical. It's like in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says, "Chanchalam hi mana Krishna." His mind is so flickering. It's just so, it's mad. It's determined. It's more difficult than crow than the wind. So what does Krishna say? Asangsayam mahabhav manodrinagraham abhyasinya tukondi vairagena chakriyate. He says it is undoubtedly very difficult to control the mind, but it's possible by constant practice and detachment. So this is a good practice. You're chanting japa, you find you're inattentive, stop, back up a couple of beats, and then go forward. It's a very practical way. The mind is always going here and there. So it's a practical way to again focus on the holy name. And also sometimes when you might be reading, I've had this experience. I read a whole page and didn't nothing sunk. Didn't hear anything. You ever had that experience? It's like, what am I doing? I'm supposed to be reading. My mind is somewhere else. Yeah. So then I go back and I read the page again. Wait a second, you're supposed to be reading. Just go back, read it again. Yeah. So this is one of the main offenses that we commit when we're chanting, when we're hearing, when we're engaged in devotional service. Inattentive. Because the mind is just, phew. And why? Because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains why. He says the mind is a non-devotee. The mind is a non-devotee. So non-devotees don't want to hear. They don't want to hear about Krishna, right? Try to give a non-devotee a book? Nah, I'm not interested. So the mind is like that. Nah, I'm not. Come on, let's do something, something practical, Let's do something we can enjoy, So we're trying to turn the mind into a devotee. It's been a non-devotee a long time, who knows how many lifetimes. So now in this one lifetime, we're trying to turn it into a devotee. Big challenge. Even Krishna says, Durjyanam Maham Mana. In Uddhava Gita, he says, of difficult things to conquer, I'm the mind. Not like in a war, there's different sides. And not conquering the other side, but to conquer the mind is very difficult. But constant practice and detachment. Amazing, huh? Detachment. Even Krishna says it's a weapon, the weapon of detachment. It's a weapon. Generally, weapons is something you could see. Like a gun or a bat or something, a knife. But the weapon of detachment. You can become free of this banyan tree of material attachment, the weapon of detachment. It's a subtle weapon. So our material desires are also subtle, right? So this detachment is subtle. When the material desires are there, we pray to Krishna to become free of this attachment. It's like we were speaking yesterday at lunch. What was it we were speaking about? Remember that? It's slipping my mind.
There was no greater attachment than that which
occurs. No greater attachment than? Yeah. Something like that. So anyway, this detachment is very important. But we have to get an attachment to something higher. We got to get the higher taste. Yeah. When we get the higher taste, then automatically we're detached. Just like a millionaire, he's got a lot of money. Someone offers him $100. No, it's all right. Give it to somebody else. He's got so much money. Right? But a poor person, you hand them on, it's like, woohoo, they're going to be in ecstasy. So if we have Krishna, then automatically we're detached. So that's the thing, we have to somehow become attached to Krishna. This is the real wealth. It's like I was distributing books here in Dallas not long ago, and I approached these two guys to give them a book. And they said, "No, we just gave our money to this homeless guy." And he was the homeless person was also there, listening. So I had explained the book. So after I went away from these two guys, this homeless person came up and he gave me $2. And he said, "You know what you were saying? It was very interesting. I'd like to have one of your books." So such a poor person. But he could understand the value. So he became wealthy. He got one of Prabhupada's books. Yeah. So this is the real wealth. Yeah. Devotion for Krishna. Knowledge of Krishna. Prema dana vanavya dharidra jivan dasakari vitayan nari deha prema dana. In this Shikshashtaka, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's the Shikshashtaka verses there. The last chapter, the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But in between those verses, there's nice verses. So in one of those, Lord Chaitanya says, "If I do not have love for you, my Lord Krishna, then I'm Daridra Jivan. I'm a poor soul. Therefore, please, please give me devotional service. And all I want as salary is love for you. This is the salary we want. We want something. We can't become free of desires. But what we want is we want love for Krishna. Yeah. We don't have desire, just like sometimes people say, no, I want to be free of desire. I want to become completely free of desire. But that's also a desire. You can't get free of desire. So we want love for Krishna. This is what we're aspiring for. As Prabhupada said, shooting for the rhino, the most difficult thing. But might as well shoot for the most difficult thing. Might make it. Hope against hope. So maybe stop there. Any question? Comment? Correction? Any comment you'd like to make, Mahatma Babu? Oh yeah, okay. The verse says, "Just as I, the Supreme Lord, execute regulative duties by my own free will, similarly, one who has realized knowledge of me should maintain general cleanliness, purify his hands with water, take bath, and execute other regulative duties, not by force, but by his own free will." I think they have a saying that you force a person against his will, then he is of the same opinion still. Yeah. So we can't force. Therefore, this movement, it's a volunteer society. Yeah, in New York City, before Prabhupada went there, there was an unwritten rule, don't trust anyone over 35. Yeah. Prabhupada arrives there, he's 70 years old. And they not only trust him, they give their life to him, yeah. Because he was just so pure. Go on. Contact high. Rub off a little bit. Yeah. So for those of you that are online, Mahaprabhu was just revealing one of his secrets, his many secrets, and how he advances. That if he hears of some devotee that likes to get up early or is very tolerant, then he hangs around them, and their mood rubs off onto him. So we're going to start spending more time around Mahatma Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu. So the question is, does Krishna ever indicate that the mind cannot be controlled? I've never heard that. If someone doesn't want to control their mind, non-devotees, they don't want to control. They think they are their mind. Yeah, they can't control their mind. Only by? Only by the mercy of the pure devotee can we control the mind. If you really want to control the mind. I could. Mahatma, I'm going to let you answer this. I mean, I have something, but... Yeah, just to get a PhD. People have to get PhDs, and they have to really control their mind. They want to do this, do that, but they got to focus. Yeah. We have to want... Yeah. We have to want to be detached. We have to want to surrender to Krishna. We have to want to control the mind. Yeah, there was one devotee asked Prabhupada, how can I get your mercy? You just have to accept it. Prabhupada said, I'm always giving mercy. You just have to accept it. So Prabhupada's giving so much mercy. Krishna's giving so much mercy. And we just have to accept it. And Maya's also presenting, so we have to we get detached from what Maya's presenting. Yes, Mari. Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.